From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, a traveler's guide to the afterlife. We're going on a journey. Here's what's happening. Yahoo shares fell more than 5% after the technology company disclosed a second massive data breach that raised fears now that even Verizon might kill a deal to buy its core internet business. Silicon Valley Yahoo said that it had uncovered a 2013 cyber attack that compromised data of more than 1 billion user accounts, the largest breach in history. Facebook has announced its plan to tackle fake news by harnessing fact-checking and potentially making disputed stories appear lower in users' news feeds. The issue of fake news on Facebook has been a hot topic for months, particularly during the recent U.S. presidential election. In one hoax article, for example, Pope Francis was falsely reported to have endorsed Donald Trump. Everybody believed it. And on November 8th, of course, Donald Trump was declared the winner in the U.S. presidential election. His victory, however, won't be official until December 19th, when the 538 members of the Electoral College gather in state capitals across the country to formally cast their ballots for the next president. Will we see changes in those votes? Can something happen? Let's check in with Howard Bloom, of course, who's been following all this election stuff for us over the last several months. Howard, I don't think there's going to be a major change, but I want to get your take on it.
Well, there won't be a major change, which is, you know, from my point of view as a Democrat, unfortunate. But something really historic is going on here, George. The Independent in Britain has done the math, and it reports that Donald Trump has lost the popular vote by a greater margin than any U.S. president in history. It says that his deficit is now 2.8 million votes behind Hillary Clinton, and it says that that's five times more than the second biggest deficit in American history. But Trump has won in the Electoral College 306 to 232, which makes things look as if Donald Trump was right. He said something is rigged, and he said the Electoral College is in a tweet. He said this on election night in 2012. He called the Electoral College a disaster for democracy. So the result is an avalanche of protest from Democrats. You know that the Electoral College vote takes place this Monday. Mm-hmm. And for three evenings running up to that date, a group called Unite for America is organizing candlelight vigils in state capitals on December 19th. Another group, the December 19th Coalition, will have December 19th protests in the capitals of all 50 states. Unite for America has also made a video with 17 Hollywood stars asking the electors to change their vote, and those stars include Martin Sheen and Deborah Messing. But that's not all. There's this huge, massive stuff happening. An open letter to electors posted on Change.org, which is the petition website, has attracted a whopping 4,882,638 signatures. It also ran in seven newspapers. There's another petition on Change.org calling on the Electoral College to make Hillary Clinton president. That one has 4,883,338 signatures. So there are a total of 5,520 petitions about Donald Trump on Change.org. That's absolutely unprecedented. And the list of these things goes on and on. So you wonder, has anything like this happened in the past? And yes, in 9 out of the last 17 elections, electors have changed their votes. Republicans tried to get the electors to change their vote in 2008 to deny Barack Obama the presidency on the grounds that he wasn't born in America. And in one election, 23 electors, 23, refused to vote for the vice presidential candidate, Richard Mentor Johnson, because he was sexually involved with a black woman, but that was 1836. That was 180 years ago. The bottom line is that Donald Trump's massive loss in the popular vote and his massive win in the Electoral College may be the biggest violation of democratic principles in American history, and more important, it may be the biggest indication that the Electoral College finally needs to go.
And there will be some electoral votes that switch, but not enough, Howard. And Howard, of course, will be Jimmy Church's guest on Coast to Coast Saturday night for the first hour, talking about some of his work. City officials in Corpus Christi, Texas, say that they have identified the chemical that prompted a mandated drinking water ban. During a news conference, a city spokesperson revealed that about 3 to 24 gallons of an asphalt emulsifier called Indulin AA86 had made its way into the city's water supply after backflow incident that occurred late Wednesday. The announcement came about 12 hours after the city issued a mandated ban on drinking or using tap water. How inconvenient. The city warned that boiling, freezing, filtering, adding chlorine or other disinfectants, or letting the water stand will not make the water safe. Britain's fertility regulator has approved controversial techniques, allowing doctors to create babies using the DNA from three people. What is it called? Something historic. A decision to help prevent a small number of children, they say, from inheriting potentially fatal diseases from their mothers. The AAA said that an estimated 103 million people plan to travel for the holidays as more Americans hit the road or take to the skies. Travel by cruises, trains, and buses will decline slightly, however. Mississippi fell to number 50 this year as the country's most unhealthiest state. There they were. What is the country's most healthiest state? For the fifth consecutive year, Hawaii wins that honor. Let's check with Peter Davenport now from the National UFO Reporting Center on what's been happening in the skies this week. Peter, what do we have?
Well, most of all, it's been pretty cold up here, George. They're forecasting -8 to -10 in eastern Washington.
Ouch.
Any more of this global warming, we're going to be icicles, I'm afraid.
We're in an ice age, my friend.
From western Washington, they call this more evidence of the global warming formation. Out here in eastern Washington, we just call it freezing conditions. I was almost tempted to toss back a couple shots of my favorite rubbing alcohol just to prevent carburetor.
Now, do that after your appearance.
Some really intriguing reports tonight. I'm looking forward to sharing them with the Coast audience. I think these reports are doing some good because since my last broadcast, I guess a week ago tonight, got a number of very, very high-quality reports from serious-minded people. First one comes from 1965, August 1st. The gentleman apparently remembers the date. He was a young kid. He was listening to a 24-hour news AM station out of New York City, and they were reporting that UFOs were seen over the Four Corners area in western United States. He grabbed his dad's binoculars and he went out and lay down on his front lawn in Teaneck, New Jersey, was looking up at Vega, which would be almost directly overhead at that time of year, at that time of night, about 9:30 p.m. He was just about to call it quits, and suddenly an object passed through the field of view of his binoculars, chevron-shaped. He said what caused him to submit the report 51 years after the sighting was the report I did last week about the sighting of a chevron over Huntington Beach, California.
Right.
Very nice. We have this report from Teaneck, New Jersey, posted to our website. Very nicely prepared, very grammatically correct. It's a wonderful report. Leaves no doubt in my mind but what that guy actually saw something very interesting in August of 1965. A little more recent, I'm sure you remember, 1st of July this year, I did a broadcast and I closed by encouraging all the Coast listeners to keep their eyes peeled on the 4th of July during fireworks.
Remember that, yeah.
Well, we got one. Took the guy 5 months to finally get it written, but wonderful report from Port Washington, Wisconsin. It's just north of Milwaukee, south of Sheboygan. 4th of July, about 8:30 at night, he was looking out east over Lake Michigan, saw an intensely bright light. Long story short, it did from his vantage point, it appeared to be about a 90-degree change of course, coming now directly west towards him, turned into a very interesting craft, turned orange. He ran to get his binoculars, like the guy in the previous report, and looked at this object. I'll encourage the Coast listeners to read his report, Port Washington from the 4th of July this year. We posted a very nicely prepared graphic from this witness. What he saw was bizarre in the extreme, and I encourage people to take a look at that report and look at his graphic. More recently, Monday night of this week, this comes from Stevens Pass, a popular skiing area out of Seattle, just east of Seattle, about 50 miles or so. And noteworthy, George, is the fact that the witness is an ATP pilot, airline transport pilot, very capable, flown all around the world. He was taking some photos up at the ski area, and his attention was drawn to a very peculiar blue-looking object. He got about 20 or 30 photos of it. He's made a compilation of all those photos to give a cinematic effect. This object jumps all over the sky. If there are any people who were skiing this Monday night up at Stevens Pass who saw that object, we would love to hear from them and love written reports of what they saw. It was truly a bizarre object, and the pilot reports that the next morning the sky was just crawling with F-18s and perhaps F-15s as well. A very nice report, and I'm indebted to the guy who submitted it, who's probably listening tonight. Final report comes from St. John's, Florida. This is two nights ago. A group of people were fooling around, taking selfies and having a good time after a trip to a restaurant, and they saw three distinctly blue, that's significant. There are no blue lights on aircraft, distinctly blue lights, two lights in a cluster, and three clusters of them. Don't have that illustration up, that photograph up yet to our website, but we will soon. So lots going on, and I'm going to move back close to the fire and grab that bottle of rubbing alcohol and de-ice for a bit.
And you have a great time. And Peter, will we have a chance to talk with you before Christmas? Will you be available?
Scheduled for the 23rd.
All right, super. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. And up next, Catherine Albrecht joins us for a couple hours as we talk about privacy threats. We just heard that story about Yahoo, that billion people hacked. Catherine is next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. She's our expert on privacy, Catherine Albrecht, of course, expert on a wide variety of topics, including RFID chips, human microchipping, government surveillance, encroachment, you name it. And she's got a couple books out, I Won't Take the Mark, Spy Chips as well. Her websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. My pleasure to bring in Catherine Albrecht on Coast to Coast. What a great time to have you on the program, Catherine. Welcome.
Hey, George. Yeah, we got big stories out, don't we? And I bet everybody out there with a Yahoo account, if you haven't figured it out yet with the last how many data breaches from this company?
Oh, my God.
Today? All right, so this week's news about the billion accounts that were hacked, and we're now finding out about it 3 years after it happened, is the biggest hack that has ever happened in the entire history of the Internet. And that company should be trembling in its boots right now. They're trying to sell the company to Verizon.
That may not happen.
Yeah, Verizon's getting cold feet. They're saying, hang on a second, whoa, you knew about this? And we're just now finding out? So, yeah, Verizon's considering backing out of the deal. Yahoo is putting out its, I don't know, I've lost count by now, its advisory that everybody with a Yahoo account change their password, and you know, it's all the same basic stuff. And I'm really to the point now, I've been following this company, you know, all these big companies for years, and Yahoo has such shoddy privacy practices. It any data you're sending through Yahoo is just hanging in the breeze. And I think it's probably time to maybe think again about who's going to be handling your data.
Is it safe to say that most companies can get hacked nowadays?
You know, the Internet has, we've been calling it the Wild West since, what, the 90s? And it still is, because every new technology we come out with, whether it's smartphone apps, whether it's, you know, we're going to talk about fitness trackers, Fitbits, we're coming out with new technologies. Every time we turn around, the tech guys are coming up with something new, and the hackers are always dogging their heels one step behind them. So pretty much anything you're doing with technology, you've always got to bear in mind that that there's a potential privacy risk. When there's one that's so overt and in your face that experts are warning you about it and even regular people are running screaming, and there's a lot of technologies like that out there now, George, then I think we really have to say, let's back away from the hype. Yes, it may be the newest, coolest gadget or the newest, coolest thing, but if people are telling you to look out, then believe me, the hackers are looking very closely.
I bet. What's the latest in studies or things that you've been working on?
Yeah, so brand new study out today, not surprisingly, telling us that Fitbits, fitness trackers, you know, the wristbands you wear, and those are actually expanding into a whole new host of technologies to monitor your health, that they're actually not safe. Now, for your privacy at least. This shouldn't be surprising to anybody who's following technology, but what this new research out from American University and the Center for Digital Democracy tells us is that these devices are collecting really invasive personal information. I mean, we ask them to, right? Monitor my heart rate, monitor my sleeping, my stress levels, my cardio activity, et cetera, et cetera. And that information, even though it's medical information, potentially shared with insurance companies and marketers, pharmaceutical companies, et cetera, is not protected by HIPAA. So a whole coalition of folks have come out and said, be careful when you use these devices. They're not secured, and there's really no protection for you of the data that they collect.
No protection at all. Now, physically.
Not under HIPAA, which is fascinating because HIPAA, you know, people have issues with HIPAA, but it is designed to put really tight regulations over what can be done with medical information. And here's the problem. All these technologies are one step ahead of the regulators. When they wrote HIPAA, they weren't even thinking about a device that you'd wear on your wrist that would be telling marketers what you're doing all day long.
Jeez. Now, back to Fitbit. So it's a little device. I know my granddaughter has one. She loves it. But, I mean, what's it doing?
Well, what a Fitbit is it's, and now we're kind of seeing them turn into smartwatches too, so they're kind of part of the same family of devices. It's a device, a rubber device that you wear on your wrist. It is kind of a modern version of a pedometer. Remember back in the day,
oh, yeah,
in the 70s?
Yeah. How far did you walk or run? That's right.
How many steps did you take? How far did your bike travel right now? And they've taken that concept of a pedometer, and for people too young to remember what that is, that was a device that you could put on your waistband or you could strap it on your ankle, and every time you took a step, it would jog. And this was way before we had accelerometers and all this stuff on smartphones. It was just literally detecting a bonk, 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 and every single one of those would up the counter. And so at the end of the day, you could say, woo, I took 1,392 steps today. So what they've now done is taken that concept and expanded it into virtually everything that you can detect on the human body. So a Fitbit or an activity tracker, as they're called, can monitor how many steps you take. They can monitor your heart rate because they're worn right on your wrist where you got your pulse going through there. They can monitor stress levels. Scientists are saying now we can monitor your sweat levels. We can monitor your sleeping and you're moving around, blah, blah, blah. So the idea is that you've got a device on you, and the way it transmits information is it connects with your smartphone. So you've got an app on your smartphone, and logging into the app tells you the information that's being transmitted to it from this thing on your wrist. Now, here's where this is getting really strange, George, is that it's one thing to wear something on your wrist. They're now building the same technology into clothing.
Into clothing? How does that work?
Clothing. Yeah, that's what I said. I said, what are you talking about? So there is a whole market out there, dozens of brands of bras that women can buy that incorporate electronic sensors into the fabric. And you charge up your bra. I'm not making this up. You literally plug it in.
Oh, come on. You are making this up.
I know. I wish I was. So you charge your bra, and it can actually be worn for 10 different workout actives. You can go to the gym 10 times on one charge. And as you wear this bra, it is monitoring your activity, just like a Fitbit or a pedometer, and it's also monitoring your heart rate. And so without even having to think about it, you just put on your workout outfit, and voila.
Catherine, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk more about privacy issues. Is it biblical prophecy? We must be getting close to some of that. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with Catherine Albrecht. Don't go away. Privacy issues. Catherine Albrecht with us. We'll take calls next hour with Catherine as well. And again, our websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast with Catherine Albrecht. So, Catherine, how do these hackers hack into something like Yahoo? I mean, you don't have to give us the specifics, but how do they break in there?
Well, it's one thing to hack into an individual account, right? We all know about the phishing scams. You get an email, and it says, hey, click this link, and then give us your password, right? But on a larger scale, it is actually suspected that this was a state actor, meaning this was actually a foreign government that Yahoo believes hacked its accounts. And the way they did it was actually pretty sophisticated. They used Yahoo's internal systems to create a cookie hack. So when you log on to a website, and we've all done this, you get cookies placed on your browser. And so it is believed that this hack, which occurred in 2013, was an extraordinarily sophisticated hack that involved getting into Yahoo's source code and actually forging those cookies so that everybody who logged into their account was essentially fed a fake cookie. That's how we believe it happened. And I should clarify, the information that was taken did not include credit card numbers. So for those people listening who may have provided Yahoo with a credit card number, they're reassuring Yahoo users that the credit card numbers were kept on a different system than the one that was hacked. What they did get, however, was people's names, their birth dates, and their phone numbers, obviously their email, a hashed version of their password, which means it wasn't available in the clear, but they might have been able to figure it out, and most importantly, their security questions. So you know the question that says, what's your mother's maiden name?
Mm-hmm. Right, your favorite car and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Those questions need to be changed. And this is really important for listeners, because what happens when they hack something like Yahoo and they get a billion accounts is, for most of us who are kind of too lazy to come up with multiple passwords for different websites, what they'll do in many cases is they'll take those credentials. So let's say you've got your password and you've got your security question, and then they'll go over to a bank, and they might try multiple hacks to get into bank accounts using those credentials. So the takeaway message here is, obviously you need to change your password and your security questions at Yahoo, but if you've used those on any other accounts that you have, you need to go in and change those. And it's kind of like having a skeleton key. Remember those where one key would unlock all
doors
in the building?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons why hackers do these hacks is so they can get the skeleton key to your life. So if you're using that same password and those same security questions in other more lucrative places, then they could actually tap you out. So I hate to say it, but people need to get a little more careful with their passwords. Don't reuse them. And in the words of Clifford Stoll, he's the guy who wrote a book called Silicon Snake Oil years ago, saying, hey, this whole brand new internet thing may not be so great. He actually had a really good saying. I'm going to pass it on. He said, passwords are like toothbrushes. You never want to share yours, and you need to change them every 6 months.
Both are true, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
2 years of pre-dental school, I know. You don't want to share your toothbrush, and you want to change it. Especially if you get sick, get rid of it after that.
Absolutely, yeah. And don't put your toothbrush next to somebody else's toothbrush who's been sick, even if they're in your own home.
Amazing. Well, you had the foresight to help create StartPage and StartMail as well. How are those systems able to fight off what Yahoo was not able to do, Catherine?
Well, I think there's a number of different ways. For one thing, Yahoo isn't built around security. Yahoo's reason for being is to collect as much data about you as possible and to make that data available to marketers. We also know, by the way, speaking of Yahoo, that just last year it was revealed that Yahoo actually scanned all incoming email on behalf of the U.S. government looking for particular phrases. So they basically did an unwarranted search of everybody's email. So Yahoo is the only company we know that's openly participated in that. So Yahoo is not designed to say no to the government. It's not designed to say no to marketers. Its whole business model is based on collecting as much data about you as possible and then monetizing that, turning it into income. StartPage and StartMail were created with a completely opposite idea in mind. And the idea, which I convinced the company of, is that people care enough about privacy that they're willing to pay for it. And you don't have to steal people's information secretly and sell it to make money. You can actually get people to pay in exchange for having privacy. And what I liken it to, George, is putting curtains in your window. If you have a ground floor apartment in Manhattan and you've got thousands of people walking by every day, you're going to invest some money and put some curtains up just so people don't see in your window. And what we are all doing on the internet is we are living in glass houses where everything we do is observed and monitored. And I believe people need windows or need curtains in their windows.
Yeah, I think so too. And toward the end of this interview, Catherine, you've got something for our Coast listeners to help them out if they want to move on to a more secure system. So we'll be talking about that.
Absolutely. And by the way, for people who don't know, StartPage is the private search engine. So if you don't want to use Yahoo.com for your searches, which you probably don't now, if you know that Google is tracking everything that you search for, you can do the same searches at startpage.com totally free, and we don't collect what you search for, and then we don't, not only do we delete it, we don't even collect it in the first place. So when you land there, your IP address, every website you go to, George, collects your IP address and identifies you and stores that record. What we did differently is the minute you land there, instead of putting your IP address in our systems, we put zeros. So we literally don't even
You just want nothing to do with it. That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So there's nothing to delete because we don't collect it. And that's why the government can't say, hey, turn over your records because we don't have any.
If you were Verizon, would you go ahead with this purchase of Yahoo?
No. If I were Verizon, I would definitely be coming to the bargaining table and talking about a fire sale at this point.
I mean, this is devastating, isn't it?
It's devastated over and over. And, you know, Yahoo is one of the oldest, for those of us who remember the early days of the Internet, Yahoo is one of the oldest surviving original Internet companies. You know, AOL is still out there somewhere, and there was Netscape. There were all these different services. And Yahoo has really managed to hang on kind of by a thread. And I think it's, again, because they came of age in an era where privacy just was not a priority, and they just really never built it in and never caught up.
How close are we to biblical prophecy where we talk about, you know, 666, the mark of the beast, embedded chips? I mean, this all sounds exactly like biblical prophecy.
Isn't it crazy?
It really is.
So, when I first started doing this line of research back in 1999, and longtime listeners know that I've been concerned about this since I was 8 years old, and my grandmother first warned me about the mark of the beast, which is in the book of Revelation. And it talks about everything on earth being under the control of the beast, you know, the evil leader of the end times. And I remember as a kid saying, well, hang on a second. How is it that we're going to buy and sell with numbers? That's crazy. How is it that those numbers are going to be on the right hand or the forehead, which is exactly what the Bible says? That's crazy. You can't put a number on your right hand and buy with it. Well, what these smartwatches and Fitbits are doing is they're putting that information, that Apple Pay or that, you know, Smart Pay, whatever you're using, into the smartwatch. So the idea is get it out of your wallet. You know, first it was get it out of goats and horses that you're trading and make it gold, and then it became paper money, and then it became digital currency. And now that digital currency, which is paying with a number, is being linked to the human body through these various devices. And what's fascinating is a couple years ago, the designers of the Fitbit, remember we were just talking about those activity trackers you wear on your wrist? They actually designed something. They haven't built it yet, but they designed a digital tattoo. And the digital tattoo would be implanted in your hand, and you would use it to make payments or unlock doors or go about all of your activities. So it would basically be a Fitbit inside the human body.
It seems convenient, but it's a mess, isn't it?
Well, and the crazy thing, even if people want to say, oh, come on, I have to ask you, how is it that 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, he was in exile on a Greek island working in the mines as an old man, and he was given this vision, and he didn't even understand it himself. Even he was like, wait a minute, pay with a number? Wait a minute, number on the right hand or the forehead, mark of the beast? this doesn't make sense. And he was told, just write it down, because when it comes time, people will know what you're talking about. So just write it down. And here we are living in this time. And I see people in church wearing Apple smartwatches on their right wrist. I see people, I think it's Brigham Young University that actually requires all of its students to wear a Fitbit. You literally have to have one on your body at all times if you're going to be a student at that university.
How bizarre.
It's like, where are the Christians? Where are people realizing this is not, this was prophesied. We were warned, don't buy and sell with numbers. Don't put numbers on your hand or your forehead. Don't do it. And it's kind of like we've just gone gently into that dark night, and every new gadget, we say, oh, how great, and nobody's making the link.
I think we've gotten so technologically advanced with so many different things now, Catherine, that people don't think about the ramifications of what could happen with all these. Getting back to Yahoo for a moment, I was talking with somebody just a day ago, and they've got a Yahoo account, and they got a notice that they could have been hacked, so change your password and things that you said. And you know what their response was? They hit 1 billion people, George. They're not going to find me.
get lost in the crowd, right?
That's right. How do you talk to somebody like that?
I think that's the same attitude that says, well, if I'm not doing anything wrong, and of course, you know, the government's not going to track me. I have nothing to hide. And I've got to say, I think it's that attitude that causes us all kind of like sheep, you know, to just be led gently into the slaughterhouse. And we really need to stop and say, hang on a second. If it affects 1 billion people and I'm just going to go along with that crowd, we might as well just jump off the cliff together.
Catherine, I know this isn't your expertise. It's more of Bev Harris's. But there's been a lot of talk that the Russians may have hacked into to influence our election. Is it really that easy to do that? Could have been the same people who hacked into Yahoo, right?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, our computer systems are designed to get the job done, whatever the job is. And they're not designed to protect people's privacy or even the privacy of the system. So when people came along with this notion of electronic voting, probably the very first thing they should have said before anything else is, how do we make this secure?
That's right.
But instead they said, how do we make it fast and efficient and cool and have a nice...
Yeah, how can we get results after the polls close at 7
yeah.
o'clock or whenever?
And then only afterwards. And see, here's, we were talking about StartPage, and we'll be talking about StartMail here in a minute. Here's the difference. So there's two ways that you can go about building, an embassy in the Soviet Union. Remember the Americans had an embassy over there?
That got bombarded, yeah.
What it turns out that when that embassy was being created in the Soviet Union, that the contractors they had hired to build it embedded surveillance devices right into the cement of the posts and the foundation and the beams. And so when the Americans found out, they couldn't remove the bugs. They had to actually demolish the entire multi-million-dollar building.
Which we paid for.
Yeah. You got that right. So when you design any system, whether it is the Obamacare, remember that health sign-up, those websites that were riddled with security and privacy problems, whether you're building Yahoo, whatever it is that you're building, if you build it first and you tack on the privacy afterwards, and I'll liken this to a building. Let's say you got a building and you build it, and then you say, oh, we better put a fence around it. Well, then the bad guys are just going to tunnel underneath. They're just going to fly a drone and look in your skylight. The fence is not going to do you any good. So what you have to do is, from the very ground floor, the minute you begin building it, you say, okay, well, what do we need to do to prevent tunneling? Well, let's dig really deep and put some lead lining and all kinds of security underground. And what do we need? So you build the whole thing with the security in mind instead of tacking it on. And that works. So when we built StartPage and StartMail, for example, what we did is we started from scratch. StartMail is interesting. That's our private email program.
I'm losing you here off the phone. You there?
Oh, yeah.
Can you hear me? No, hardly. Hardly at all.
So sorry.
It's like you're 1 million miles away, Catherine.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well,
there you go. That's a little better.
Okay, super. So what I was saying about StartMail is that we thought in 6 months we could just tack some privacy onto a pretty secure system. And instead, after 6 months, we realized we had to start over and build the whole thing, zeros and ones from scratch. And that's how we got privacy. And we realized you have to do that. You have to go back. So it took us a couple of years to actually build it from the ground up. And that's why Start Mail can't be hacked. It's secure. That's why when you build the embassy, you had to rebuild it. That's why when they built Yahoo, they couldn't tack the privacy on after 15 years of being Yahoo or 20-some years. So you have to really think about it from the ground up, and that's what the technologists aren't doing yet. I think they're going to. They're going to have to because it's big money that's being lost.
Catherine, I remember going to the supermarket as a kid with my mother, and at that time, the cash register and the cashier in the supermarket, you know, recorded everything one at a time. And the cash register literally had the money on the keys, like a dollar, 50 cents, 25 cents.
Like a typewriter.
Right.
Type it
and,
in.
And then the cash register changed and got a little faster. Then we went to the barcodes. I'm convinced what's next when you just take your cart and at one time it gets it all. Just like that. When is that going to happen?
Well, see, now we're talking about RFID, the radio frequency concept of putting a digital barcode or basically a little radio transmitter on every physical object. And they've been talking about this for a while. Of course, I wrote the book Spy Chips, co-authored it with Liz McIntyre to explain exactly what the store of the future is going to look like in the words of the actual creators. So NCR, you know, the National Cash Register Corporation, they envision a time when you won't even have a shopping cart. You will walk in, and as you take something off the shelf and put it into a digital bag, it will just deduct it on the spot from your bank account. So you'll put the milk in, and it'll go, okay, that's $2.19 that I'm deducting. And then you can just waltz out of the store. You know that IBM ad where the guy's wearing a trench coat, and he's shoving, like, packages of meat and some different things from the supermarket into his coat and hiding it?
Trying to steal it.
Yeah, as he goes to leave, the security officer taps him on the shoulder and says, excuse me, and you see him turning around like he's going to get arrested, and the guy says, you forgot your receipt.
Well, that's the way it's going to happen.
That's the envision. Yeah, we won't even have cash registers. I don't use the self-checkout because I want to preserve people's jobs, but eventually they want to get rid of not just the cashiers, but the cash registers themselves.
You're a very special person, Catherine. I mean, to even think about that, to preserve somebody's job. At least they have one person watching the four little self-checkout things.
What are they going to do? Who's going to shop at, for example, Home Depot or Walmart? Who's going to shop there when nobody has any jobs?
I know it. It's crazy. They just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and they've got to stop. We're going to take calls with you at the top, but tell us about this little offer you've got for people for Start Page and Start Mail.
Yeah, so this is a Christmas special for people who are finally fed up after all of these data breaches and actually want some privacy. So I have a special deal for Coast listeners only, and it is 25% off an annual Start Mail account. So if you're ready to dump your Yahoo account, you're ready to move away from the Gmail spying, and you know all the places that are reading every email you write, because that's what they do, you can get a fully private Start Mail account that lets you write private encrypted email to anybody on the globe, whether they have privacy or not. You can write to them in privacy. That's startmail.com. And if you use the coupon code COAST, we'll not only give you 25% off, but we'll throw in two free companion accounts as stocking stuffers that you can give away for Christmas. So go to startmail.com and use the coupon code COAST.
Favorite websites to get to? You've got many.
I have a ton. So virtuepress.com is where you can read my children's book or find my children's book about the Mark of the Beast. Nobody's warning kids nowadays like my grandmother warned me. So if you're a grandparent or a parent, you want to warn your kids, you can go to Amazon and just look up I Won't Take the Mark or my name, Catherine Albrecht. You go to startpage.com, which should be your homepage. Stop searching with Google or Yahoo. Go to startpage.com. And, of course, my own website is CatherineAlbrecht.com. Nobody can spell that, so you can also go to KMAshow.com.
And we've got that link for you. All right, Catherine, we're going to come back. Final hour, phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM.